Okay.
Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barber, and with me is Olya. And we just agreed I'm not going to bother trying to pronounce your last name. all right, so I met Olya, a couple years ago now. How long ago was it?
It's been a year.
Just a year?
Uh-huh. Time flies, though.
I don't know. It feels like longer than that. Anyway, so, yeah, I met you at the first UnSummit. And so you've been around with the community for a while now, and you placed third in the Open, so congrats, and your pictures were awesome. So anyone listening on iTunes, if you haven't looked, go over to venusindex.com and check out her pics. Let's just get right into it. You obviously know how these things go, so first step is finding out how your history and with Diet and Fitness, short history anyways, and then how you found us.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm 24. I'm about to turn 25 this summer, so I'm probably one of your younger winners. Kelly was 25, and I don't know about anybody else. But anyway, so it should be relatively easy, technically, for a younger person, or so they say, to lose fat. But with my history, I guess I never really had trouble with it until maybe a couple of years ago. I never had trouble with losing fat. I just kind of stopped eating dinner and did it my own modified eat, stop, eat way without actually knowing about eat, stop, eat. Mm-hmm. But then something tipped me over. I guess there's a lot of factors. I tried out for like a dancing audition, and they told me I needed to lose more weight and I need to get more toned. So I started kind of going on a really rigorous diet. I like did low carb, and then I did a master cleanse three or four times. And I don't know if anyone's familiar with that, but basically you are juicing lemons and drinking lemon with warm water, cayenne pepper, and maple syrup, like the whole day.
That sounds totally unappetizing.
It's delicious for the first couple of days, and then you just get bored.
Oh, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
The thing is, with fasting and modified fasting, I don't think the fasting part is hard. It's coming out of the fast or dealing with the emotions that it brings out. So I guess that whole fasting experience just kind of opened up a whole Pandora box of issues that I didn't know how to deal with. And, of course, food was right there, and that's how I dealt with it. And I didn't realize that that was kind of, well, I didn't want to realize that that was kind of the root issue was the emotions behind that I haven't dealt with. So... So I tried everything else, from paleo dieting. I did raw food dieting.
How'd that go?
Actually, it was pretty fun, but it was a total fad. I mean, I got addicted to nuts and nut butters.
Oh, yeah, because that's one of the...
I mean, it's rough.
When you're eating raw, like, if you're going to go raw food, one of the major things you have to substitute in is you have to have all kinds of nuts and cook with... Well, I guess you don't cook, but make stuff out of nuts.
Yeah, so many things. I mean, a lot of the raw food is calorie dense too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if people think, I don't know, the definition of healthy has shifted greatly for me over the past over the course of the past year. But, people think, vegetables, fruits, nuts, and whatever is healthy. Yeah, they're healthy, but if you're eating like 1,000 calories worth of nuts in like one sitting.
Yeah, it's that kind of all the benefits sort of is out the window if you're going to mass consume calories like that. And that's a problem. There's the idea of like healthy categorized. We don't even need to go into this. Yeah. It's the caloric density of food has nothing to do with its like social acceptance as quote healthy or not, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I was on that fad for a little while, and then I did low carbing, and I just was feeling like I was kind of like way out of control. it just kept getting worse and worse, and it didn't seem like, I think I gained, from like what my baseline weight was before I did Master Cleanse, because on Master Cleanse I think I lost like 20 pounds, and then I gained like 40 back.
Oh wow! So it really messed you up.
It really messed me up. So, you know, anyway, besides, I started dealing with that on my own, and I started kind of had an inkling that, you know, you got to start working on yourself. So you got to deal with your emotional stuff first before you're really trying to do caloric restriction or, you know, start any sort of that kind of thing with food. If you have an...
If you think it's going to stick.
Yeah, if you think it's going to stick, if you're going to make it a lifestyle of any sorts, you got to start with yourself first. And
so this, you slowly started, this sort of came, like you... Like that kind of, you started realizing that that's where it all has to start. Like when did that sort of set in?
You know, it didn't set in till like this contest. Because I started working with, Dr. Bird. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even just after her first session, I like, wow, I didn't realize I haven't dealt with so many things yet. Even though I did already a lot of work on my own, it's kind of like having a coach when you're training for a sport of some sort. You know, you need someone to guide you and point out things that you might have been overlooking, you know, on purpose or not on purpose.
Mm-hmm. So. The decision to work on yourself is one thing. Having someone guide you and put that effort in the right place is another.
Yeah, and that's the whole, I think, philosophy behind Venus Index. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's, you know, you could work out all you want, but if you don't have that guided approach, if you don't have the correct goal in mind, you don't know what you're training for, and you don't have a system that helps you get there in the most optimal way possible, well, you're kind of going to be stuck at some point.
Yeah, it's if you're running 100 miles an hour and you're putting all that effort in, but you're running in the wrong direction, that's really not helping. So the idea is, you know, someone like myself, at least with the workouts, I'm assuming people are gathering that I'm hopefully pointing them in the right direction with their effort. I can't put the effort in for you, but I can point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
And same with Nicola. That's why she's been doing some guest posts and why she's, you know, she's writing a book too. And I mean, she already has her book, but she's doing a program online too that we're going to join up with for Venus, and it's the whole mind body thing. Like it's all has to come together, kind of like how you're putting it all together. That's actually what I think for most people it has to happen. It's mostly not a technical issue, like, oh, I really just was eating the wrong amount of carbs or whatever. That's usually not it. It's usually the whole thing, kind of like how you've arrived at that. That I think everyone's going to arrive at that.
Yeah, and it's a journey, and it's still, you know, I mean, you gain so many bad habits along the way that you are spiraling down, that it just took me a long time to realize that it's not going to happen soon or overnight, that I'm going to, like, be all balanced and happy and healthy and, like, you know, it's going to take some work and it's going to take some rewiring, of the bad habits, because they die hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you took whatever it was 20 years to build them, what makes you think you could undo them in 20 hours, right?
Exactly. So those kinds of realizations. I mean, the podcasts, the community, the friendship and the support that I've gotten throughout this whole year also have just been an invaluable resource. I mean, without all of these things, you kind of feel like you're struggling and alone, and feel like, oh my God, you know, I'm a snowflake, and totally this is only happening to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
But it feels like that. It's funny because it feels like that to everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So even though it kind of is sort of, because you're only living through your eyes, right? It's not like you can live through somebody else's eyes, but. That's why you have to go out of your way to get involved in these communities any supportive community. And it's also why you got to be super careful of who you like allow to influence you, because mm-hmm. you only have so much time to spend in a day interacting with people. So if you choose the sort of, if you choose to spend some time interacting with people that push you in a negative direction, that's time you can never get back. So,
yes.
So you gotta kind of offset or try to minimize that kind of time spent and maximize or add in more of the positive energy. It's always a balancing game, because in the end, when those people aren't influencing you, you're back to by yourself again, right? And so, and that's where the old habits creep back in.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to one of your guys' podcasts about attention being a commodity. And this effort, I mean, maybe for some people it wasn't that hard. And I know some people that, okay, you know, they put their mind to it and it's easy. And I used to be one of those people who was easy for to diet because, you know, okay, I just cut out one meal out of my day. There you go. There's like maybe 300, 400, 500 calories gone. But, you know, after I did like all of that damage to myself, it became harder because you're psychologically have to put actual attention to that area of your life.
Mm-hmm. And there's only so much attention to go around.
There's only so much attention and focus you can put into it. So I was really focused this whole contest. I mean, the last two I kind of crapped out on.
Hey, however many it takes, it takes.
Yeah, but I was just really excited. I mean, with how it all came together, how my pictures came out. I had one of my favorite photographers. I don't know why I didn't work with him before on my other shoots, but I think it just also comes to, back to the point of just not being ready or believing in yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you set yourself up in those other ones to not purposely not call because you don't think you're ready.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, it could be.
Maybe. That's true.
Maybe you could cover that with Nicola one day and just find out, hey, why didn't I call him?
Sabotage.
Yeah, self. So, well, hey, you know what's weird? I used to hear about that concept, self-sabotage. I remember when I was younger and I never understood, like, I didn't understand why, that didn't make any sense to me, the self-sabotage thing. Because I'd heard that phrase way back in undergrad when I was just, you know, whatever, drinking beer and skipping class. Like, I didn't, you know, carefree, didn't care about, like, life was real simple, right? Like, it was, all it was, like, sleeping, partying, playing video games, and going out. That's all I did.
Yeah,
and
so no bills to worry about.
No bills, it was just total pseudo-life, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing the phrase self-sabotage and, like, sabotaging your own success. Maybe like a Tony Robbins would be talking about it. I'm like, what does that mean? That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why would anyone do that to themselves? And only now do I get that idea, like the fear of success and the idea that you don't want, like it's actually, it's like a responsibility and you're like, oh geez, maybe I don't want that. And then there's an identity crisis involved, like all this kind of stuff. But I remember back then being so completely naive. It just didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, who would do that? Of course people would just go for it. I just the sabotage thing.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't even realize how much I do it to myself either until you start digging deeper. And after you've already kind of gone through, I don't know, I guess several milestones in your life, you know, graduating and you start living real life and a lot of things just start cropping up and you know, shit happens.
I'm with you. And so I guess if you're young enough, it doesn't make any sense. And then all of a sudden, like you said, you go through a couple rites of passage, and then it starts to make sense. All right. So okay. So you're putting it all together then. So talk. I don't know where you want to go with this. You want to talk about what it was like going through this contest this time?
Yeah. I would like to talk about the fact that I finally pulled myself together and it just also timing. I think a lot of winners, have also talked about timing in the past podcasts, but I want to emphasize that this was the right time for me to really be able to focus. I have a stable situation. Like I was unemployed last summer for 4 months. So that was pretty stressful. And I just didn't have as much focus. And now Now I had full-time work that I enjoyed. I was going to classes in the evening, and I kind of had, you know, a routine. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing for me this time around was getting into a routine and pre-planning things, you know, just making sure, for example, at first day at work, I just started packing my gym clothes the night before, or rather I packed my work clothes the night before, and I had to dress in my gym clothes in the morning. Mm. So I couldn't back out of my workouts.
Smart. So that was one of your tools for directing your future self.
Exactly. Because, you know, I was like, oh man, that means if I am lazy or I don't wake up on time, that means I have to unpack my bag and get dressed into like regular clothes when I already had all of my workout clothes laid out right there, and it would just take 5 seconds to put them on. Mm-hmm. And then you just feel stupid if you get to the gym and you're wearing your gym clothes and then you don't go work out. You just change into your regular work clothes. That would just be silly.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. And then just viewing my workouts as a gift more than a punishment works for me. I know some people feel like they bang out a harder workout once they're angry or like mad at themselves. But for me, it's just like every day I drilled it into my brain. The workout is a gift to yourself. You're giving yourself a time where no one else is bothering you. You don't have to think about anything else. I mean, thank God for John Barbin wrote it out for you. You don't even need to think about it. Just look at your sheet of paper and get it done. And that was, you know, a gift of time and a gift of feeling awesome. Because, I don't know, I think once you start seeing some progress and results, you look in the mirror and you start feeling good about yourself. And you're like, wow, I see that my arms are looking nice and like my shoulders. And I look at my legs and, you know, it's kind of an uplifting thing. So.
I've never heard that one before, that the workout's a gift. I like that one. I think a lot of people are going to like that. I'm going to use that one. Do you mind?
No, not at all.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, it's just part of changing the way you're thinking and part of changing your negative tapes that you feed to yourself, because mm-hmm. there's way too much negative bullshit out there. And that's one of the things, you know, throughout this whole journey, I mean, it was so much more than just working on your body. Mm-hmm. It's just learning how to manage stress, learning how to manage yourself.
It's almost like the body's the tip of the iceberg, and it's all what happens under the water that gets it there.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many other things going on, yeah. Now, okay, so you said something interesting, that there's just so much negative stuff. Are you more selective with what you allow sort of into your, your psychic space, so to speak? Like, are you kind of careful with what you allow to influence yourself, like what you allow yourself to be exposed to, so to speak?
Yeah, I think so. People at work must think I'm nuts, because like every time I'm there, I'm in a good mood. And why not to be in a good mood, you know?
Oh yeah, totally.
And if I start feeling like I'm getting frustrated or doing something, I just walk away. Because there's no need to kind of perpetuate that feeling, or I put my energy somewhere else. And I'm lucky because I have a gym right by, like, on the same floor of my office space.
Oh, so you can go with, like, oh, okay, so it's right there.
So I could just say, okay, I'm taking a break now.
Yeah, that's a huge plus. I know what that feels like because we have one right in our office, but yeah, that's a huge advantage. That's good. So when it's time, you can escape there anytime you want then.
Yeah, or, you know, before I had a gym nearby, I just go and take a walk outside.
Yep. And that's just an effort to stay balanced. So is that part of what you're after, is balance then?
Yeah, I think a lot of the ladies, and I don't know what the forums are like on the men's side, but it seems like a lot of us are just after finding a balance of some sort, or at least feeling like we're normal, because once you kind of go into the dieting rabbit hole and trying all the like crazy things, it feels like you're just way out of whack. And that, you know, pendulum swing type of feeling, I think one of the podcasts you guys talked about this, and just kind of you want to be closer to the middle, kind of the norm. You want to feel normal.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, I've never really thought of it exactly that way, but I guess that's true. We're just trying to bring people back to, pulling them back in from extremes. That's interesting you said it that way. I was just talking to Brad today, Pilon, and he was, one of his friends from university.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know her too. Brad and his wife and this girl all did, the same nutrition undergrad. And then this girl went on to be a dietitian, like in a clinical setting, like in a hospital. So mm-hmm. she works with physicians, like someone who's on dialysis, she has to make sure that they're getting fed the exact right stuff. And it's very clinical, technical stuff. And then she's like, that's the bulk of what she does. But her and some other colleagues, dietitian colleagues, when they ever stray away from the hospital setting and work on just normal people, quote, normal people who are just trying to lose weight, she's like, all she's ever doing is pulling them back to the middle and getting them away from these fringe diets. So same thing that you just said, that's all she ever does, is just take people from extremes and be like, what are you doing? Come back to normalcy and just keep your eating in control. And you don't need to stray on these paths down these bizarre eating patterns. And so exactly what you just said, that's all she ever experiences too, when she's outside the hospital setting, is just, all she does is just recenter people back to, like you said, normal.
I hope there were more people like that, because
that's all we do. Like going down any one of those extreme patterns doesn't end well.
No, not at all. And
there's no such thing as someone who's been doing low carb for like 15 years and it keeps working, or like this latest fat paleo. Like none of them, you know what? Everyone's got the story about when they tried it, and that story usually is about a month, right? Like no one has the, yeah, I'm 10 years now paleo, or 10 years like low carb. Like it just doesn't exist.
Yeah. And then you know what? I was so desperate at some point. I tried a weight loss clinic. This is embarrassing, but I tried it. And then I realized, wow, I'm paying a shit ton of money for someone to tell me to eat less and move more.
Mm.
Wow. And then they just were not qualified, because I didn't think they took a holistic approach to it. They just kind of said, okay, you're only eating like maybe 800 calories a day or something. So like they did very low calorie, very low carb diet type thing, but they never really addressed like, the rest of the things, you know, the rest of the things in your life that are happening. I don't know. It just,
anyone can tell you to eat less. It's all the other things that go into like getting to a point where that's not clearly caloric restriction is required at some point to burn some fat. Like that's kind of like 1% of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we already knew that. The trick is getting your entire life into a situation where you can pull that off for just enough time to get enough fat off.
Yeah.
So that's not the trick. The trick's everything else to get to it.
Yeah.
Kind of what you figured out, right? Three contests later, you've kind of figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't do things perfect, but I feel like now I'm way more in control of what my life is like, and I'm just happy of where I'm at right now. I mean, I'm not exactly at VI, and I still feel good. I still look good, and I love what this whole process has done to my mental sanity and just my attitude. And it's lots of growth and development. And
so kind of inside and out.
Yeah, I'm able to give myself support now. I feel like for the past couple of years when I was kind of in a dark place, I was denying myself support for the longest time and just fighting myself tooth and nail. And now it flows a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that odd that like we'd be our own least supportive person or our own worst enemies. I mean, because I've done a lot of work with Nicola too to get to this point where I recognize a lot of what you're saying. I've been through with her and kind of this sort of the same transformations, like holistically. I'm fully in belief that that's how it has for most people, or 70-75% of people. I think it's got to be the way that you're experiencing it right now. And I just think for very few people, it's just a technical issue. Interestingly, I had a coaching client who was that way. He just actually didn't know, like, how to work out really, or exactly how much to eat. Mm-hmm. And I just gave him his instructions every week, and he's like, okay, done. Next week, he just did the next, and then his transformation was ridiculous. He's the only person I've encountered who had there wasn't anything emotional. It was actually just a technical issue. So they are out there, but they're rare. For most people, it's a whole mind body thing.
Yeah, exactly. And just reconnecting with yourself, because you kind of go out of touch for a while.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's how things get sideways with the body. It's kind of like, I don't know, let me know what you think of this. It's kind of like your body's a manifestation of the inner self.
Yeah, absolutely. They're guardians. Okay. I'm a prime example of that.
Oh, man.
For myself, I mean, it's just, once you start believing in yourself and you just kind of give yourself the benefit of the doubt, and you give yourself that support, and you kind of learn the fact that you're still you, the core of you is still you, mm-hmm. and all of the things that make you awesome are still there. It takes a little while to realize that and stop kind of punishing yourself for things that are, you know, that happen. Things go wrong all the time. Maybe you met the wrong person somewhere. Maybe you didn't have like a really good genes, or you didn't have a good childhood, but all sorts of things happen. Maybe you had a tragedy in your life, or maybe you had rejection of some sorts, and you just got to realize that you're still you after all is said and done. So, yeah.
And I mean, we can choose to dwell on the negatives, or we can leave them in the past and work on moving forward. One thing I find people struggle with is just because something is the way they used to do it, or they're used to it, doesn't mean it has to continue being that way. I think that was one of the biggest challenges I had to learn, was like, oh, just because that's how it's always been so far doesn't mean it has to be that way moving forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, did you like, is that something that you had to like work through, the idea that like tomorrow doesn't have to be the same as yesterday?
Yeah. Well, actually, and that leads me to another point that I wanted to say, and I don't think anyone's ever really, well, at least I didn't hear it in any of the podcasts, but one of the tricks that I did for the like last 5 or 6 weeks of the contest, when I was recording my calories, and like, for example, I had went over the calories for that day. I didn't record them for that day. I only recorded them up to the limit that I set for myself, and then I had to carry them forward to the next day. So when I'm seeing the next day, psychologically, it's not a clean slate. It's, you already see that some of the stuff's already kind of allocated there, so you don't, it just kind of helps you keep yourself in check without going nuts for long stretches of time. Like, you stumble. Okay, well, you know, you're kind of, it's kind of like that point of having debt, but also just visually seeing that, okay, well, I don't really have that much to spend the next day, you know?
Mm, yeah. That's interesting. I've never heard of anyone doing it that way. I like that.
Yeah, so I mean, in the end, your goal is to whatever, weekly, 10 days, just have it on over a period of time stretch, not like day to day, or sucks day to day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, where do you draw the line, right? It could be day to day, then is it down to like hour, like down to the hour? I mean, theoretically, we could calculate, we could at least take a guess at how many calories you burn in an hour and try to come in slightly under every hour. That doesn't make any sense.
That's, does that mean, back to
that, that means you'd be you'd be eating like one or two bites of food every 30 or 40 minutes. Like, it's stupid, right? Like, for the moment that we eat, if we were going to measure it like within 10 minutes, mm-hmm. for the moment you're eating, you're clearly consuming more calories than you're burning in those 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
But obviously then there's like a window of time where you burn it all back off till the point where you're dead, then you eat again. And so it's, yeah, so there's some, that's why we land at a week is probably about the right time, weekish.
Week is nice, you know.
Yeah, I guess we're getting to that. So you have to use that concept, right? Like you viewed your calories on a weekly basis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was one of the light bulb moments that I had when you guys came up with it. Actually, I think I wrote Brad Howard an email, and I was like, dude, you guys should have an app that actually tracks calories on a weekly basis, or, you know, because a lot of these apps, it just can see them day to day, but you don't see what you're doing week to week. And it just kind of sucks, because day to day, you can look at yourself and you can go like, oh, wow, I'm like eating too little, or I'm eating too much, or whatever. But if you had sort of an average to go off of on a week to week basis, I think it would look and psychologically feel a lot more sane.
Yeah, we're already on it, so no, that's in the works.
You got that part handled.
it's not finished yet, but yeah, we're working on some software that's going to do all that kind of stuff.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah, like calories on the weekly basis, protein, like everything instead of down to the day, everything's going to be shifted to a week, so you can see, like your workouts throughout the week. Like, are you how close, like, kind of Caroline, this is a shout out to Caroline, kind of like Caroline's sticker idea. Is it a forward day, you know, neutral day? We're not even going to do backwards day. It's just going to be forward or neutral. I don't want any kind of output that's negative at all. I mean, I'd rather people get excited to see another forward day, than have any kind of feedback that's like, I don't want a thumbs down or like a skull and crossbone thing popping up. It's either this sticker concept is so good that I actually was think that the thing should actually have a sticker, like a star, kind of like a gold star that pops up if you have like a forward day.
Oh, I'll take that idea further and have like people be able to choose their own sticker.
Something like that, yeah. Well, my idea was that, and if the end of the week's a really good one, it's like a 5-star week or a 7-star week, right? And then
exactly, or you can you get an upgrade, and you can get like an animal or something. I don't know.
yeah. Well, anyways, that's
even a cat.
It's got to be that'd be really basic, like just basic, basic weekly. Like just that's it. Like don't complicate things.
So it's awesome. And another thing that I didn't do, and I didn't focus on recording my workouts. I mean, I knew that I had to do 3 VI workouts, strength workouts a week. And then, I just, every day I did something besides that.
And maybe some kind of activity?
Some kind of activity. Like maybe in the morning, I do this thing I call lazy cardio or pretend hiking. When you go on a treadmill and you just set it on the highest setting possible, so it feels like you're hiking, but you're going kind of slow. Mm-hmm. And, or, you know, just going during the weekends, I just go do stuff outside and walk around. And I think that's the best way to go, because it feels like if you try to put too much emphasis on like trying to burn a certain amount of calories versus what you ate, that just adds another layer of like, wow, well, am I going to make it into my calorie goal today or not with the workouts? And, you know, it's all estimates as well, so it's kind of...
Yeah, so did you even factor that activity in, so to speak, or you just kind of treated it like a bonus, just knew you had to do it?
I just knew I had to do it, and I treated it as a bonus, and that's how I treat it now. I mean... I just kind of, you know, it makes a big difference not to be in a like complete deficit. I'm probably in a small deficit right now, but I just decided that I'm done with going like for bigger deficits for at least a little while.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you're close, right? So I don't think you need it. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of the reverse taper concept anyways, is to be approaching basically maintenance towards the end and eating right up to your needs. The idea when you're really close is to actually just exercise it off. As sort of contradictory as that sounds, at the end, that's actually how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
And it just takes longer. It requires some patience.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And you know what? From a diet standpoint, that's a lot easier.
Totally is, because there's always the light. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You get to eat more. It's just a better way to go.
I agree, and you know, it makes you feel like you don't have to be as strict, or you don't have to like run for the trees if you overeat, because it's a lot easier to overeat when you're, let's say, on 1200. Less than 1,200 calories during the week goal than if you're at 15, 16, 1,700 during the week goal.
Yeah, I've talked to a few other people where there's like it's a real fine line between what's manageable and what kind of pushes them over the edge to kind of cracking.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is just a few hundred calories one way or the other. And so if they try to sustain too low for too long, they just crack. And if they just bump it up, like you just said, like 300-400 calories, then it just seems to work.
Yeah, it's just a lot easier. It's just psychologically a lot less daunting to feel like, oh, shit, I just ate 300 calories. There goes like a third of what I'm allowed.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that miserable? So there, I think that's also why, especially for girls, some extra cardio is a lifesaver, because it does buy you that extra 300-400 calories. And if that's what it takes for the day to not feel miserable, then
go for it. And it's
go for it.
And it's just a good stress reliever, man. I swear, I don't even feel right anymore without doing something in the gym or outside, just like doing something active. It's funny. I was at the gym, and a couple of times this happened because people see me working out several times a day sometimes. And, you know, by working out, I probably, like, really work hard 3 times out of the week during my Venus workouts and strength workouts. But all the rest of the time, it's not that I don't work hard or anything, but I just don't consider it like a proper workout. I'm just getting my butt off the office chair, because I sit on my ass all day.
You and me both.
This barely covers, you know, like being active. I used to work at Starbucks when I was going to school. Mm-hmm. I was probably on my feet like 6-8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. And oh yeah, so going to the gym for an hour is like nothing compared to that.
Exactly. When you think about it this way, you know, I wish I had more motivation to go more, but I really don't. I hate going to the gym after work.
Oh yeah.
To my social time. Yeah. So, like, in the morning and then the afternoon is perfect, because it doesn't make me feel like, you know, I can't go see this person tonight, or I can't go out to dinner tonight with this person because I have to go to the gym because I haven't gone yet. Just get it over with and get it out of the way, or get that time to yourself to sort of center yourself for the day, even, you know. And some days are harder than the others to force yourself to work out. And that's when I do my, this is a gift, this is a gift, this is a gift mantra.
Go unwrap your gift.
Yep.
All right. Well, okay. So what would you, I guess we're getting on to the end here. Do you have anything else you want to bring up, or do you want to just, what's your advice for other people who are stumbling a little bit, or, I don't know, like have been around and are maybe not sure if it's the right time yet?
I just feel like people should take a step back and really look at if there's something that they haven't really dealt with. Or, you know, if the contest is not the right thing for them. For me, it's awesome, because I was like, yes, I want to win. I want to at least place, because I've been looking forward to doing an interview since the first contest, you know, and just seeing yourself progress, and don't compare yourself to other people. I mean, we're all so different, and different body types, different quote-unquote problem areas. Some people don't have motivation to work out. Others have trouble, you know, restricting themselves for a long time, and others haven't dealt with their emotional issues yet. So just deal with your stuff first, and don't be afraid to take a step back. I mean, it's not like anyone's zooming in the eye on you and recording every single thing you're doing. You don't have to share with anyone. You know, it's like no one's judging you. Unless you want to be judged or if it's helpful to you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm with you on that. It's, it feels like everyone's watching you, but they're, the ones that are watching you are actually on your side. At least in our community.
Yeah, they're on your side, or if they're watching, they just don't really care. I mean, they might not be watching as closely as you think they are.
Yeah, put it this way. No one's like wants you to fail, and if you stumble, that's okay. Everyone stumbles. At some point, I mean, everybody stumbles.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think another thing is what I've noticed is, and I'm really, really awesome, people are taking a lot more preparation for their pictures. And I think that was the most exciting part for me for every single contest, is just to get ready for the pictures. And probably, arguably, the most nerve-wracking and time-consuming thing I've done, because for those couple of days you're getting ready. And I think just taking the time to get ready also gives you an appreciation and something to look back on. You know, like, I'm really happy with my photos. I picked the right photographer. I had the right swimsuit. I started tanning for a while. I did do a water deplete, but it just didn't make any sense. And it's the worst idea ever.
It's not comfortable.
No. You're thirsty, and the whole entire thing, you're thinking like you get cranky too.
Yeah.
You start getting snappy with people.
Well, maybe you do.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, okay.
Poor photographer.
Yeah.
He was just trying to help me, you know, like with my posing and stuff. And I'm like, do you realize this is so difficult for me right now?
Really? That's how the back and forth went with you and him?
Well, he's like, well, you don't look like you're straining. Like, you don't look like you're flexing. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like standing here like almost breaking a sweat. But obviously the point is not showing your face there.
Oh, yeah. No, you did a good job. Me and Brad are terrible at it. But, yeah, you did a great job.
Years and years of modeling.
Oh, man. You know what you're doing there. We look like we're in pain every time we're on camera. Jeez.
Well, you know, I looked at – you know what? Another thing, too, I did this time that I would do a little bit differently this next time around if I were to take pictures is find time to get a workout in before the pictures, because I was taking pictures with just my camera phone, because I take progress pictures like every couple of weeks or so with my phone after a workout, and it's a big difference in what groups of muscles show, and I just wish I could show more definition, but I just didn't have time to, like, between the makeup and like getting my hair ready, burning myself with a hot iron while curling my hair.
Well, that's not cool. Yeah, it does make a difference doing some exercises before. I mean, I was recently at a fitness show. A couple of friends of mine were in, and same thing. Backstage, everyone's doing all kinds of different lifts just to get ready. So
yeah,
it does make a difference.
15 minutes would have made a difference, but I just didn't fit that in there. So I for anyone who's doing a contest, I would highly recommend doing that at some point before your photo shoot.
Even halfway through and just see what the difference looks like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you have that luxury of time, go for it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so anything else? Did you want to leave it at that?
Oh, one last thing. Mm-hmm. But wait, there's more. I also brought a fitness magazine with me. Just, like, in case I was going to start running out of ideas. I mean, I've been practicing posing, like, this whole entire contest time, because I would just constantly, incessantly take pictures of myself in the mirror with my camera phone to see, like, what side looks better, what does this angle do. So I kind of had already a mental picture of what I would look like. But then, you know, you're in a freaking studio. There's not much to work with but yourself. And if you have something to, like, inspire you or work off of, it makes it a lot easier to come up with, like, sort of creative poses and stuff. So bring a...
So you had a magazine, like, right there in front of you.
Yeah, I had one, you know, and when I was, like, starting to get tired and I was like, man, I don't even know what else to do. I just looked at a couple and I was like, oh, okay, well, I could probably do this. This would look good. Because I already know what my body looks like, like on basic poses, and then everything else is kind of an embellishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm with you. Me and Brad run into that problem. We'll just be standing there and be like, what next? And so we went, we've got like a bunch of bodybuilding books. So we just open it up and just have it sitting there and flipping through the pages and be like, that one looks good. Try that. Same thing. Even Lauren, in her last interview, she said the same thing. Even, you know, she's been in a bunch of professional fitness shoots and she still just grabs magazines. So
yeah, you have to. I mean, that's
the best source. I mean, even everybody does it. Like, no, but there's only so many ways the human body can be, like, positioned.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's already been done really well, just there's nothing wrong with imitating what's already been done well.
Yeah, I mean, and just practicing. Practice in front of the mirror. I know it sounds silly, and I know that I just do it because I used to do modeling when I was younger, and you just practice, and you kind of already get to know so well. Like, you have maybe 3 or 4 or 5 key poses, and then everything else is just kind of a bonus that you learn. But, like, mm-hmm. practicing those and knowing what you look like during certain angles is your best weapon. Like, it could make or break a shoot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 100%. Brad looks good in certain ones where I look stupid and vice versa. And like you said,
for two.
Pardon me. Oh yeah, but like people look different from the left than from the right.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone has like a better side for a certain position, and it's just it's all part of the presentation, right? Like,
yeah.
Like we've said a million times, you'll never see a model in a magazine just standing face on. Like,
no.
They're always on an angle. That doesn't even exist. You never see someone just facing the camera. That's like no model would ever do that. No magazine would ever put you like it's just that's just not there.
Well, it's just not a flattering angle from a lens, period.
Yeah, totally.
Just the way it is, so. Yeah, and I mean, another thing is, like, photography-wise, either do it yourself, like on a self-timer, mm-hmm. and just position the camera just the correct way, mm-hmm. or pick someone who really enjoys doing photography, because a couple of shoots that I had was just, like, with friends that are just like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I had
oh, they're like disaffected and just don't even want to be there?
Or just, they just like are so afraid of the camera. Like, some people just have a gift, you know?
Mm.
Like, knowing, okay, well, maybe I could just shoot this way or try it different ways. And others are just like, they're going to take one picture and they're going to be like, okay, well, I'm done.
Yeah, they're just going to suck the life right out of it.
Yeah, and you're like, dude, like, you're gonna have to become a director. So find someone that really enjoys this kind of stuff and wouldn't mind trying out different things and just be patient with you because you're cranky and you've been fasting and you haven't drank any water for the past 18 hours.
So if it's gonna be a friend or a spouse, make sure they've got the patience to see you through it.
Yeah, I mean, and that they're not afraid to try out different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to have to put on a director's hat and sort of play that role.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep. I hear you. All right, well, that was good. I think we can leave it at that.
Yeah.
All right, well, congratulations for placing in the contest.
Yeah, so, I'm super stoked.
Yeah, well, yeah, you looked great. So for Olya, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index podcast.